Well, several years ago now, our younger daughter, Lindsay, told us about an activity she took part in at her workplace. The company brought in all 40 employees and administered a Myers-Briggs personality inventory to them. Now, if you're not familiar with the Myers-Briggs inventory or other similar inventories, what these do is they categorize or describe for us the way that our particular selves move through the world. The Myers-Briggs inventory breaks this into four categories. All right. The Myers-Briggs inventory breaks this into four categories. The first category, I and E, describes what your favorite world is, the environment in which you flourish, you recharge, you feel energized. Do you love to move through the world of people and parties and high energy? If so, you are an extrovert, an E. Do you prefer the life of the mind and perhaps the company of one or two intimate friends? Well, then you're an introvert, an I. The inventory also measures how you like to take in information. We're just going to stay on that slide for a bit, the one before. Thank you. It measures how you like to take in information. Are you a sensing person, an S, who takes in information through your senses exactly as it comes to you? Or are you an intuitive person who interprets that information as it's coming to you and considers all the nuances as you take in information? If so, you are an N for intuitive. And then there's how you make decisions. There are the feeling people, the Fs, who like to have the facts, but then they consider the circumstances and the people involved and what's beneath the surface before they make a decision. The thinking people are the Ts are those kind of, give me the facts, just the facts. And then they make their decision on those. And finally, there's how do you like to structure your world? There are the perceiving people, or the Ps. Ps tend to stay open to possibilities. So like the Ps are the ones who say, oh yeah, I'll take a voucher for the flight and I'll come back tomorrow or some other time and see where I want to go then. The Js, or the judging people, appreciate structure in their world. They make plans and they carry them out. The J's make airline reservations and then say, I'm going to be on that plane on that day at that time, and I will be there 2.5 hours early. So to help everyone at my daughter's workplace understand how this actually plays out in real life, the facilitator arranged all the employees in a long line, and now we can go, thank you, in a long line based on that first category, what is the perfect world or perfect environment for you? Are you an extrovert or an introvert? To put it in church terms, are you an extrovert who tries to kiss, hug, and exclaim over as many people as possible during our 3.5 minute greeting time? Or do you sit quietly and hope no one comes over to greet you? Or, and I know you're here, do you wait and come in 10 minutes late so that you can avoid the whole thing? So we've got the extroverts all the way to the introverts lined up, and the facilitator starts, and he says he's going to give them an assignment. And he says, so get with the people who are, we're going to stay there. Get with the people who are next to you and beside you, and I'm going to give you an assignment. You're going to plan a party, and I'm going to give you 5 minutes. So after 5 minutes, he comes back, and he starts with the extroverts, and they say, oh, well, we actually planned 3 parties. The first one is a Halloween-themed progressive dinner party, and we want to make sure that everybody posted on Facebook so we'll have plenty of people there. Okay, so they move down the line, and they get to the introverts. And the introverts, not the extreme introverts, but the introverts say, We were thinking maybe like a book club format so that there are already ready-made discussion starters and we don't have to come up with small talk. And the extreme introvert said, alcohol, lots of alcohol, and a movie so we don't have to talk to each other at all. So there are many kinds of personality and characteristic inventories, and all describe the way you move through the world while being very clear that none of your personality traits or characteristics are right or wrong. They're not good or bad. They are just the way you move through the world. It's the same with lots of other things. There are other types of personality inventories. And you may know this from your time in school. There are different learning styles. Now, I learned about these four: visual, auditory, those who read and write, the kinesthetic ones who are, you know, if you knitters brought your knitting, you might want to knit through the service. It'll help you sort of take it in. And now we know so much more, and we have all these nuances of neurodiversity and how they learn and take in information. All right, and then the next one. And there are spirituality types as well. Now, I've talked about these several times, but we're going to spend more time with them during this month of January. And the particular spiritual inventory that I'm going to use is one that was developed by Dr. Corrine Ware, called the Spirituality Wheel, is how she organizes it. And very briefly, we've got head spirituality. We start over there with a one. Heart spirituality, mystical spirituality, and social justice spirituality. And to introduce this to you today, I'm going to use two scripture passages. Remember that I said one of the ones tells the story of the angels appearing to the shepherds at Christmas. And the second tells of the wise men who followed a star to find Jesus. Now, I'm going to start with the shepherd's story and just kind of listen and take in who the characters are in this story, who I'm talking about. Now, in that same region, this is when Jesus was born, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Now, I was going to read a second scripture from Matthew about the three kings or the three wise men, the magi, who came to see the baby. But Amanda did such a beautiful job of that. I'm just going to hit the high points of the story. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born, wise ones from the east came to Jerusalem, asked, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews. Now, we kind of have this backstory of these three magi, or these wise ones, studying their charts and everything, and trying to figure out when this king was coming and who it would be and where it would be. And I just have this picture from several movies I've seen. They're studying and they're working. And then they go and they ask Herod, where's it? And there's a whole story there. And Herod kills people and everybody's scared. And they finally end up in front of Jesus and they bow down. They give him three gifts, which are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay, so you know that story. Well, let me kind of take these two stories now and put them in the context of spiritual types. Okay, so let's have the slide of the nativity. Anything that you don't like about this. This was the one where it was clearest for me to show you who was there. Okay, and there's a lot of argument about who was there and at what time. So, for the sake of today, I want you to consider that the head spirituality types are the wise men, the three kings, who studied the signs and the charts, and they set off to find the king of the Jews, and they knew enough to ask Herod, who was the reigning king of the Jews. And for the heart type, I want you to consider Joseph, who, if you remember, Reverend Ken said, broke all the rules to honor his engagement to Mary and followed his heart and said yes to God. And for the mystical spirituality, consider Mary, who took all this in and treasured these things in her heart and pondered them. And for the social justice type, I want you to consider the shepherds, the ones who acted on what they heard. When the angel said, go, they went. Now, today we're going to start with mystical spirituality. And to help me with that, I've invited Joe to talk with me. If you've paid attention for any time at all, you understand that Joe lives deeply in that in interior place. If you listened to his prayer today, you heard all those images of come to us and be in us. So I'm going to ask Joe to have a seat here, and then I'm going to briefly run through. So there are probably about 10% of you here who are mystics, who move through the world with this mystical spirituality. Mystical spirituality emphasizes the mystery of faith, the unknowableness of it all, the inability to nail God down or place God in a box. It emphasizes hearing from God over speaking to God. I am always telling God what I think, what I need, what I want, you know, but mystics emphasize hearing from God, give God room to speak. The goal of their spirituality is understood as union with God, literally finding that divine within and becoming one with God. And people attracted to this type of spirituality are often contemplative and intuitive, tending to be focused on an inner world. So I'm not saying that any of these by themselves describe Joe or limit Joe, but I have come to know him as a person with mystic spirituality. So Joe and I have prepared a few questions, and I want you to hear from him how he worships and how his relationship with God. I'm sorry for those of you that I'm sort of hiding behind this, but so Joe, will you tell us what it means to you to identify as a mystical spirituality type?
Well, I feel that my movement through life has always been a primer to developing a kind of mystic spirituality. I was raised as a Roman Catholic. I went through 12 years of Catholic education, and primarily the focus of that education tends to lead you into a mystic way of living, to be in connection with God or to be in union with God. That's the primary focus of what a mystic would be, is to be in union with your God, okay? And generally that way was understood to be a contemplative and a meditative sense. In the early church, all of the focus on religion was through monasticism, where people gathered to, you know, find this perfect union with God through meditation and through contemplation, and to remove themselves from the world so that they could not be, you know, disturbed by other things. For my own self, I feel that what I have taken from that quality of mysticism is the kind of mysticism that my favorite mystic is, St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis of Assisi turned the church around completely in its view of humanity, in the sense that through St. Francis of Assisi, he made the church understand and realize that everything is connected to the divine. Whether that's a plant, whether that's the moon, the sun, or the stars, everything has a connection to God.
The animals.
And the animals, yeah. And our planet. He's been considered, and by the Catholic Church, to be the patron saint of the environment because of his attitude. And so he changed that focus. And for me, that's the kind of focus I wanted, was that he and a few others, St. Benedict and St. Teresa of Avila, have as their motto, every time you meet someone, you see the face of God. That's not easy to do, you know.
So I'm glad you brought up that image of the monasticism. Mm-hmm. I think that's really good, the silent time, the prayer time, the ritual. Joe, when do you feel closest to God?
Well, I think it's when I'm doing meditation, or when I'm doing some reading. But it's also when I'm in communion with people, because to me, that's the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the people I need to be involved with. Mm-hmm. I also am a member of an online organization that's known as the Monastery of the Heart. It is a monasticism for ordinary people. Mm-hmm. And it is moderated by a wonderful woman, Sister Joan Chittister, mm-hmm. who is a Benedictine nun. And it's easy. All you have to do is, you know, go to the website and join. Mm-hmm. And part of that is that you receive spiritual wisdom and messages from the group. And part of that is knowing, using what is called lecto divina, or divine reading.
Yeah. Can you just describe that a minute? Because that's like at the heart of mystical spirituality.
Is that, you know, you find the union with God through divine reading. A lot of that can come from the Bible. A lot of it can come from other mystics' writings or doctors of the church or whatever you want to do with it. But you take a passage, and it can be one line, it can be a paragraph, and you read that message and you contemplate it and you spend time seeing how that message relates to you personally.
Over and over, you might read through, you might find one word that speaks to you and takes you, but it's that inner connecting with God. Joe, what's your go-to way of praying?
I do like meditation. Mm-hmm. I like a quietness when I'm praying.
So I would say you are one of those that's more open to hearing from God, to
yes.
receiving from God when you pray.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the Lectio Divina, is I'm receiving a message from God through whatever passage it is I'm reading, mm-hmm. or even a piece of music.
Well, tell me about that. Do you have some particular types or of music that...
I do, and we did one of them today.
What was that?
Come it's and fill the Taze
Come and
community.
Fill our hearts with our people.
Come and fill our hearts with your... Which is a repetition of a single message over and over again with a underlay of music. The Taze community was founded in the 1940s. It's an ecumenical group of people in France, and their music becomes a meditation.
Yeah. So I've been at a service, a Taze service, and we just sang that one verse, come and fill our hearts with your love, you alone, O Lord, are holy. And
yes.
I bet we sang it a dozen times. Sometimes the piano would drop out. Sometimes people were humming, and it's just allowed to enter that mystical
space. Well, and if
space.
You listen to any of the recordings, which they have a lot of, because they are an ecumenical community, they have songs in Latin, Greek, mm-hmm. Spanish, German, mm-hmm. French, every language. So you'll hear all these other languages.
And it doesn't matter if you speak the language
no.
because it's a mystery.
It's mystery.
God is beyond even
right.
the words we can apply.
Right.
Joe, if somebody said, I'm not a mystic and really don't understand that type of spirituality at all, but would like to, what would you tell them to help them understand?
Well, I think the first thing is that everybody has some mystic in them. You know, you just may not think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would say, you know, try some meditation work.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the things I think that helps a lot of people understand ordinary mysticism rather than monastic mysticism is to read some of St. Francis's works.
Yeah. So mystics, I used to be really afraid. I'm like, what are they doing? These mystical, you know, are they casting incantations? You know, do I not make them mad? It's just so foreign to me. But I'm learning. So here's the thing. Our worship series is called If I Planned Worship, We'd Have a Lot More Blank. And each four of these Sundays, people are going to say very different things, aren't they? To if I planned worship, we'd have a lot more blank. So, Joe, if you planned worship, we'd have a lot more what?
Well,
it's you're safe. Go. This is a...
For me, it's silence. Okay, we have tried to incorporate moments of mm-hmm. silence in our services. Generally, when I do or been asked to do the community prayers, I will occasionally and many times start with, please join me in a moment of silent reflection and meditation. Take the deep concerns of your heart directly to mm-hmm. your loving Creator.
Yes.
So it's preparing my mind for what's to come in the service, especially in the sermons for the Word of God or whatever.
Well, if you see Joe, you'll see that he has his prayer book with him, and even before the service, he's praying the prayers for the day or the readings for the day. And
yes, so. I also, as part of my own spirituality, do use what originally was known as the divine office, that all monastics and all religious orders say or come together seven times a day in order to pray to God, because that was part of their way to become unionized with God.
Well, and behind that is you pray the prayers at certain hours. So the idea is that someone somewhere in the world is praying every hour of the day. As the time changes. Well,
now it's called daily prayer. It's and it's very easy to do. It takes less than 10 or 15 minutes in order to read one of the go through, and it's mostly all the Psalms, because those were considered the best way to contact God.
Thank you, Joe. Even today, so are there some out there that wouldn't mind raising your hand if you consider yourself a mystic? Ah, that's maybe more of you than I thought, and I'm surprised by some. So about 10% is what they tell us of you really resonate with mystic spirituality. So here's what's important to me. We have one shot at this. On Sunday mornings, we have one shot at this. So about maybe 10% of the service really resonates with Joe. But like he said, he is here in community. And what he can be assured of is that the song that doesn't resonate with him or the sermon that doesn't resonate with him does with someone. I want to read you as I finish. Miriam Fry is a spiritual director, and she goes around the world and teaches about spiritual types. And for her to learn that she was a mystic was revelatory for her. It changed her understanding of everything, because what she says is, I used to feel out of place in church. Because I don't like long sermons. I don't like really heartfelt songs. Once I realized I was a mystic, I could sit in the church service and understand that others value the Bible, tradition, order. They have a different way of understanding the divine and can approach it with their intellect. I've also been in services that are much too emotional and spontaneous for me, because that's the way some people connect to their God. What she understood is that she belonged in a Quaker community where there was a great deal of silence. So next week we're going to talk about social activism as a spirituality. That's the smallest group. However, my guess would be that it's highly represented in our congregation. I want to say one more thing. We understand that what we do on Sunday morning is as important as the fellowship is, as the learning is, as the going out into the world and putting your faith in action is. We don't reach everyone. And so most of you know this now. We've had to change our timeline just a bit because I've been out of commission. But beginning Saturday, March 2nd, we will be bringing back a Saturday service. Specifically, we hope to speak to those who are heart Christians who experience God through music and their own experience of finding Jesus. We're going to have an amazing band. We've brought some new people in. We've got some wonderful people returning like Casey, and I think it will be a wonderful experience for our church. Some of you will resonate with that. You're not our main audience. We hope to reach out to people who haven't found our Sunday morning service attractive, but yet who want to hear these progressive ideas, these ideas about God loving everyone, including everyone, bringing our whole selves to our spirituality. So that will start in March. I'm excited about it and hope some of you, even if that's not your primary spirituality, will help us get it started. You'll be hearing a lot more about it. Joe, thank you so much. I know it's not your favorite thing to be up here in front of all these people speaking, but thank you so much.
There's one other thing I think I would like to say about mysticism or about mystics is I believe that the evangelical portion of Christianity has its roots in mysticism. Mm-hmm. Because if you listen to the music and to the words, you really get a connection spiritually, inwardly with your Creator. Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you for that. So a time of praise or prayer.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's a great connection I didn't make. All right. Joe, it's time for the call for the offering.
Yes, it is.